want to welcome you all to another Daily Decan, your rosary on the road. I don't know that that tagline's going to stick around, but I came up with it yesterday and it seems to work. Anyway, hang a lampshade on it. I don't have any prayer requests or anything coming in on the email, but I certainly encourage you to send those in to dailydecanrequests@protonmail.com. That's Deca, D-A-C-E-D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, @protonmail.com. And we're on Gab now. At, it's gab.com/thedailydecan. You can leave us comments or gab at us. Send us a direct message. You know, I haven't been on the messaging platform on Gab in a while. It used to be that they automatically deleted everything. I don't know whether they're still doing that or not, but they used to, so I'll have to keep an eye on it. If you do send us messages, I'll check it or have somebody else get log in there, take a look at it, make sure that we got all the prayer requests so that we can enlist the help of our audience to pray for you and your needs. And it doesn't matter how great or small the need is. We're here to approach the Lord and glorify Him by showing Him that we trust Him to solve our problems, or at least to give us a hand up. But with no intentions, we'll just go ahead and return to the intention for which we're praying our novena, which concludes this evening at Compline, and that is the novena to Our Lady of Lourdes. Tomorrow is the 11th of February, and it is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And I would encourage you that if you have a daily mass in the area or you have any means to get to church at all, to go to church, and if you're properly confessed and in a state of grace, to receive communion. And if not, if you cannot access the church, we do have a penned message on the Telegram channel where you can see all the live streams that are available for the Latin Mass and the various Byzantine rites as well. So I encourage you to do that tomorrow to finish up your novena. If you can't, then there's a couple of options as to how to finish the novena. There are several litanies to the Blessed Mother. Is of course the rosary, and it wouldn't hurt to reach out to a priest and ask, hey, I've been doing this novena, I can't go to Mass to finish the novena, what would you recommend? And place yourself under obedience. That's always a good practice. For now, though, let's go ahead and put ourselves in front of God and pray our rosary for the healing of Holy Mother Church and for the conversion of the heretics, apostates, and schismatics who are permitted to torment, afflict, and chastise those loyal to her. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie. Et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et in os ducas tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostri. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus Tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus te. Benedicta tua mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus te. Benedicta tua mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat principio, et nunc, et semper, et saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostri, salve. A te clamamus, exulis filii Evi, a te suspiramus, gementes et flentes in hac lacrim marum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuos misericordes oculos ad nos converte, et Iesum beatum fructum ventris tui, nobis post exilium ostende, o clemens, pia, dulci virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, sancta Dei genetrix, ut dignis efficiamur passionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. For all of us in struggle and battle, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, adveniat regnum tuum. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. I'm really going to have to get the St. Michael prayer completely memorized in Latin, or it's just going to throw off the aesthetic that I'm going for altogether, isn't it? I really should have the thing memorized. It's so funny. It's a prayer that I say more than once a day, every day, and for some reason I pray every other prayer in Latin. And then that one, for some reason, I just got into the habit of saying it in English. And the Latin that I used to, I had most of it, and now it's all gone away. I've got Sancte Michaeli Archangeli, Defende Nos in Proelo, and that's as far as I got, for some reason. Just take the time to actually learn it. And that's the thing that we've all got to do, you know. It's a matter of applying our time to what we need to get done in our spiritual lives. And there is a sort of, there's a kind of a choosing, a prioritization. And oftentimes we find ourselves deprioritizing spiritual things and prioritizing worldly things. That ties into the parable of the sower that we talked about, and how, and the way in which we reflect each and every one of us. None of us is a single kind of soil. We all have a bit of each in us. And the way in which we are the shoots that shoot up and are choked out by thorns. You know, that's where we prioritize worldly things over the spiritual. We can't all be monks, but there is a choice that needs to be made, and maybe a discipline during the Lenten season would be good for me to memorize that prayer altogether. I had thought about doing something else, and I would encourage you to do something similar to this. If you don't do any spiritual reading, that is really a discipline that you should cultivate, and it's one that I've tried to cultivate as best I can. That's why we post the Saints' Days and readings from Butler's Lives. That blog, Catholic-Restoration, that we post from is really excellent. He's got several years of content going back with the different Saints' Days on it to help lend you a little bit of spiritual reading. And I recently saw circulating today, if anyone is familiar with Magnificat, which is a monthly publication of readings, daily readings, and commentaries from mostly modern authors that follows along with the Novus Ordo. There's a new one of those coming out that is strictly the Mass and follows the old calendar and everything. 62, it's conforms to Summorum Pontificum, called Benedictus. And it's supposed to come out in July, I think, of this year. And I'm going to look into it. We're going to see if we can't do a little review of it. One of the things I've desperately wanted to do is to review, insofar as one can review, but to review different missals that are used for the Mass to illustrate their strengths and weaknesses and kind of give people a helpful guide as to what they're looking for so that they can choose one that's most helpful to them. For my own part, I'm very partial to the St. Joseph's, but that's just me. I know there's an awful lot of people that speak very highly of St. Andrew's. And I don't know anybody who doesn't want to have the Father Lazanzimus. Whatever the case may be, you have a lot of choices out there. And one of the things that I'm hoping to do is to help give people a little bit of guidance. Whatever the case may be, but that's not what I was really looking to talk about today. What I was hoping to talk about instead was the subject of struggle. And this ties into our Lent concerns. I feel like every single recording I've done over the past several days has been a recording focused on penance and examination of conscience, seeking our sins, finding what's wrong with us, preparing to do the penance for Lent. Well, now we're a week out from Ash Wednesday, and we're less than a week from Shrove Tuesday. And so I thought that it might be worthwhile to start turning our minds towards better discipline, penitential practices, that sort of thing. And so I thought that I would turn to a subject that I've been thinking about a lot, which is struggle. There's always this conversation that comes up, and I saw a couple of Telegram channels post about the idea of there's a lot of traditional Catholics that all have it in their heads that they're all going to flee the country when things get bad. You know, they're going to go to Poland or to Russia or someplace, like Hungary, to any number of other places. And the realism of that option is debatable at best. But it comes down to what St. Thomas Aquinas referred to as an effeminacy, I think. Father Ripperger is very fond of speaking about this subject. St. Thomas, when he says effeminacy, he doesn't mean that you look womanly or, you know, you're effete or you can't grow facial hair, you hang around with mostly women, you act like a woman, you're whiny and nagging and other things that we don't associate with masculinity, but with the negative traits of the female, the fairer sex. That's not what St. Thomas means when he says effeminacy. In the Middle Ages, effeminacy meant something very specific, and it was fear of and natural flight from suffering. People who are bound in some way to worldly pleasure, and I don't mean great pleasures, ecstasies. I don't even mean necessarily sexual pleasures. But people who like to be comfortable are effeminate. And there's a lot of talk, of course, about the effeminacy of the modern church, how it's very womanly, and that sort of complaint has been on about the church for quite some time. In France, they wouldn't give women the right to vote, despite it being conformed to their principles, because they feared that it would create undue clerical influence, because women are by their nature so superstitious and religious. So, that's to say that the Catholic Church has very long had this sort of question hanging over it of, you know, is our religion too womanly? It attracts women, certainly. Women do tend to be attracted to strong things, so I don't know that necessarily that's what it's really reflecting. But one thing that our religion certainly has become today is effeminate in the medieval sense, because even in our religion, in our Christianity, we seek comfort. I'm not a big fan of C.S. Lewis. I think he's overrated. His inability to commit to a one or another expression of Christianity landed him in this sort of very ambiguous Anglican soup that I don't have a great deal of respect for. Now, it's not to say I don't have respect for Anglicans. There are high church Anglicans who are incredibly strict and well-disciplined. But Lewis and his mere Christianity thing, I don't know, I don't find that very respectable. But even he said, I never sought comfort in Christianity. I knew I could get that from a bottle of port. And it's true. Our faith is not there to comfort you. God has seen fit to place us in a world that is defined by suffering and struggle. And as we talked about before, struggle must have meaning, or it's just despair. And God gives us the means whereby to provide our suffering and our struggles with meaning, and that means is the cross. But furthermore, God has deemed that we are worthy of struggle, and that's something most people don't think about. You cannot better yourself but by struggle. If you don't struggle, it's like a thing in the river. The wood and dead fish, the flotsam and jetsam and all of that doesn't struggle. The trash in the ocean doesn't struggle against the waves. No, that belongs to the whales and the sharks and the various sea creatures and fishes that swim against the current. And I forget which church father it was that had pointed that out, that, you know, dead thing does not swim against the current. Our faith calls us to be alive. And that means that our faith calls us not to be comfortable, because to struggle against the current, to swim, is a struggle. And it perfects us. That's why we exercise. That's why we work out. If you're not working out or doing any kind of exercise to improve yourself, well, then that means that you live exclusively in comfort of the body. And as we know, comfort of the body will kill you. It is your undoing. People who are very comfortable of the body find themselves eventually are very uncomfortable physically, because they have to be placed on a gurney to be rolled around from place to place. There's an entire television show just dedicated to humiliating these people and reveling in their humiliation. That's the reality. If all you want is comfort, comfort will kill you. Only struggle can help you live. And that's not just true of the physical order, that's true of the spiritual order as well. And everything around us, the mental order, if you don't challenge yourself, your mind will die. One of the main means whereby we fight against the rising tide of dementia in people, which people are starting to see in men and women as young as their late 30s are suffering from a form of dementia and Alzheimer's. Now, I suppose some of that could be the chemicals that they pump into the water, but I'm more likely to believe that that has something to do with the fact that, well, people waste all their time on meaningless entertainments. They don't struggle in their minds anymore. They don't challenge themselves in any way, shape, or form. And this isn't to mean that everyone should go out and learn about critical theory, adopt a postmodern lens so that everything is confusing and they can't make sense of it. They don't even know if they're real when they look in the mirror. You know, no one needs that Cartesian garbage. But we do need to challenge ourselves to keep our minds limber to the extent that they're capable of it. You know, not everybody can be an Olympic athlete in the same way not everybody can master the finer points of great literature. Milton's not for everybody. But in accordance with your ability, you should challenge your mind and keep it limber. And the same thing is true of your body, and the same thing is true of your soul. We're called upon to struggle emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, to struggle constantly, to overcome. And we know that God trusts us to do this because He tells us that we are not to worry. His grace is sufficient for us. He tells that to St. Paul. St. Paul tells us very clearly, in no uncertain terms, that we will never be challenged by God beyond our ability, meaning that if we ever feel like we've been pushed too far and we're unable to bear the cross that's been placed upon our shoulders, we are wrong. And it means that we have not unlocked the strength that exists within us, probably because of a lack of exercise. And so our life is struggle. And Lent is a season for us to join in this eternal struggle, to prove our worth to ourselves, if to no one else, and to do those things for which we were created, to know, love, and serve God. We cannot know God if our minds are not limber. We cannot serve God if our bodies are not fit. And we cannot love God if we do not exercise our spirit in struggle and stress and anxiety of this world that we pass on to Him. Not to wallow in them, not to lay down in the muck pit of our fears and anxieties, but to offer those sufferings, those emotional trials, as our personal crucifixion. That's what our faith calls us to. He that does not struggle will not live. And so it is my prayer that in this Lent, God gives all of us the grace and the wherewithal to struggle successfully, to improve ourselves, to fight, not so as beating the air, to run, not in place, to discipline the flesh and bring it into subjection, and to win that immortal crown for which we were created. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.